Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 661 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is December 12th, 2021. We are getting a little bit of a late start, a little bit of a hiccup, but that's okay. All fine and dandy. We are live every Sunday, by the way, in the UK, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the 1 p.m. Did I say 4 p.m.? That's the East Coast. They're 4 p.m. Central time zone where Kim should be right now. That's 3 p.m. We're on Twitch. We are on YouTube. So come watch us live every week. We have a fine, lovely cast of people today. I'm going to start with the true Londoner, UKer, not really Londoner. I guess you're not really Londoner, but you're from the UK. Phil Olson, joining the podcast.
Hello. Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm good. Phil, where are you actually from in the UK? I don't actually think I know this, so I'm just going to start throwing it random places.
I am from the Midlands, definitely not from London. All Londoners would be very upset. So born in Burton-on-Trent, which is the brewing capital of Britain. And so dallied around here, there and everywhere. But the Midlands, so a slap bang in the middle of England.
All right. We also have our favorite Mexican-Irishman.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Hiya. It's me. I'm back or something. I survived the Wu Flu.
Yes. We will definitely get into that, Robin. We will definitely get into that.
Good evening. I'm just see the windy girl has just entered the chat. She's got the best blowjob ever in the last 24 hours. Thank God it didn't infect her that much.
I'm not sure that's the best blowjob ever.
No.
It might be the worst.
It's like a blowjob with somebody with like broken teeth and stuff, is it? Yeah.
Gummy. Yeah. I mean, gummy's better than teeth, at least. But, you know, all right. Well, that's a different topic for a different day. Hey, we are a video game podcast. As you can tell, we do take ourselves very lightly. We love to banter, talk about life on top of video games. So that is all part of it. Robin, I will have you in charge of sound effects today. Just so you know, that's the sound effect we all wanted to hear. Absolutely. We do have a few birthdays to talk about, so we definitely should discuss this real fast. We have Jason Johnson. He is turning 22 today, barely over the legal age. And so he is celebrating. We have a birthday tomorrow, and it is Xavier Martinez Afacio.
Dude.
Yeah. He is turning 65 tomorrow. Wow. And if these birthdays and ages are slightly incorrect, you can blame me. But we do want to celebrate these birthdays. And how we celebrate those birthdays, Robin, is we play them a birthday song, which you have in your hand. Let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman is not recognized.
Gotta love it. All right. So that's out of the way. Again, you know, we got off to a bit of a rough start today. So apologies on that. Robin's wondering why he couldn't hear the audio to start. Ironically, the stream hears the audio, but we, for whatever reason, on your side are not hearing that audio. But then you hear all the other audio. So go figure. Either way, we're going. We're good. We're podcasting. That's the best part of the day. So let's talk story time, Robin.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. Glad to be with you today.
So I'm torn here on who to start with, because I feel like there's a lot of good stories happening. Okay, Robin, we're going to start with you because you are back from the dead.
Yeah.
You beat the zombie virus.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. So I still got it in my chest, right? Yeah. So I'm a bit chesty. I still have the COVID cough, and I'm doing my best to try and get rid of it. So where are we now? We're about, it's like maybe 2 weeks ago, I had some business meetings and I took one of those little pack tests in the morning because I felt a bit odd and thought it was just a cold. So I went to the meeting, came back and took another one that night when I came home, and Judith said she didn't feel well. And both of the tests that I took came up negative, and Judith's one immediately came positive. So we booked ourselves responsibly for PCR tests the next morning, and we both came back positive. Then we sent all the kids the next morning, and Charlie tested positive. So bollocks. Yeah. So Judith, of course, strong as ox, raw, she felt a bit shitty for a day, a bit of a headache. You know, nasally cold. Charlie had a sore throat. That's about it. And I felt like John Hurt for 2 days, sitting at the table having dinner in Alien. When there was something trying to burst out of my chest, one night I just didn't sleep at all. I think I was WhatsApping at 3 a.m. or 3:30 a.m. But for me, again, it was like a really bad flu with a bad, bad chest. It was sore. It was very, very sore, but here, look, I'm pretty much okay now. I did some work on Friday, didn't do much, but I did some work, and I'm gonna do work now. So, but it just I am fully vaccinated, I am boosted, I have had my flu shot. So, yeah, so part of me goes, wow, how bad would it have been if I hadn't have had those things,
right?
So let's leave it there. That's kind of what that, you know, is. Get vaccinated. Yep. What harm will it do if you're of the right age? You know, go and do it. Go and get vaccinated. Charlie's vaccinated. He has one. He's 15 years old and he's had one vaccination. So it doesn't stop you getting it. It doesn't stop giving it. It just stops you getting hospitalized as much. So it doesn't stop you getting it. It doesn't stop you giving it. It just doesn't make you just as sick. So. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but just go and get it. And if you don't want to get it, that's your choice. That's up to you. But if you don't have it and you're beside me or beside someone like me, you know, you're risking me getting a cold or a sick for a day or two. It's not the end of the world. We now need to just go on and get on with it, because I don't think any of us are going to avoid it. Lockdowns, locking ourselves away, all of that has done no good whatsoever. Really, really hasn't. It hasn't stopped the spread. Hasn't. Anyway, opinions. So I'm happy to be on the mend. That's pretty good.
Everybody is in the chat. We already have a comment. Chesty is your new stripper name.
Yeah. Is it an opportune time or an unopportune time? Okay, so this Thursday coming, we're on Sunday now, and this Thursday, my whole family, it was supposed to be a surprise, but there was two reasons why we had to tell them and break the surprise last weekend when Judith and I were quite sick. We're supposed to be on Thursday of this coming Thursday flying to Florida for Christmas until the new year. And Charlie, Judith and I getting COVID, well, what happens in that case to fly to America is that you get a letter from your doctor to say that you're on the road to recovery and you're fit to fly. And for 90 days after the 10-day period when you first had your symptoms, you kind of get a bye ball. You don't have to get one of the official PCR tests. So Judith and I and Charlie, that's okay. We're there. But there's four other kids.
Right.
And on Wednesday morning, the way this works now, the rules have now changed. Within 1 day of your flight, almost just over 24 hours, so it's 1 day, you have to have a PCR test. So
real quickly, that's interesting though, because for us, for Colin, who had a medical waiver, he had to get his PCR test, but it was within 48 hours.
Changed. Rules changed over the last weeks.
Yeah, and it depends where you're going as well. So to go to Ireland, it's 72 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's within 1 day into America. Okay, so realistically, whether it was 3 days or one day, I suppose, but we won't know until Wednesday afternoon or evening whether we can all go to America.
How do you get that turnaround? So they do them in 24 hours?
Yes, but I went and visited the lab on Friday morning when I was doing my little bit of work, and went in and spoke to them and said, look, I've got my 21-year-old son and 3 young foster kids coming in, and we need this for the next thing. So, right. Well, it's usually 48 hours. And I said, yeah, but I've heard you can do it faster. So they're going to do it faster for us. Right. So
here's a couple pounds. Make it happen.
I kind of said as well. These kids are very vulnerable, and they don't like anything on the mouth because they do the test for you.
Right.
So I'm trying to scare the shit out of the testers that they don't test them.
Which, again, okay, so this is the crazy thing. So when we flew to Florida, which back in September, you know, had to take Colin in to get his PCR test, and the CVS pharmacies here do the testing for free. It's a drive-up test. The weird part about it, though, is you drive up, they give you the kit through a pass-through window.
Yeah, yeah.
They make you do it right there, and then you give it back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there's no, you know, they're like, oh, well, we need to see you put it in your nose, but
that's the same here. That is the same. So the test that you're denied turns positive, but that test is no good for flying.
Right, but that test was good for flying. Yeah, on my end. And maybe it's because it's domestic. Maybe that was it. But
$59 per test, times four.
Ouch.
And then the same. Yeah, and then the same on the way home. So that's that. Now, there was one of the kids' passports kind of got lost as well. It arrived day before yesterday. So that's that tick box done as well.
One hurdle over. Yep.
But it is kind of crazy. So Judith she is at the wit's end at the moment, panicking that, you know, one of the kids' tests are going to come back positive. Now, if Joshua, my 21-year-old, come back positive, disappointing, not the end of the world. He can spend the Christmas with our family. But if one of the foster kids comes back with a positive test, Judith is going to stay behind with that foster child. And I'm going to go on ahead with the group. Because we can't cancel our flights. We can't cancel a car hire. We can't cancel a house because it's so close to time.
Wow. Yep.
So that's what we're living with this week. Hopefully it'll all work out. Do you know what? We are actually keeping the kids off school for a day or two now. We're not even allowed.
Everybody's quarantining.
We're quarantining everything. I am taking a medicine called Benlin to try and get rid of this cough. We have got the mouth sprays to spray into the back of the kids' throats 3 times a day to try and kill anything that may be there. They're drinking loads of water. We're trying to keep everybody safe and clear so we can get away. And you know, when the plane takes off from Dublin Airport on Thursday morning, that's when I'll believe that we'll have gone.
Yep.
Because we've been so through much, and I'm so much looking forward to this, but I just really, I really, really, really hope that it happens. And I'm confident enough, but it's just scary.
You're going to Florida, correct?
Going to Florida, got our Universal tickets done. We're going to Gatorland. We're going to go to see the Gators. Do you know what? You wouldn't believe the amount of paperwork now, since the last time. So, yes. So, sorry, I'm going on a bit here. So, generally, you've got your passport and a thing called an ESTA, which is like a visa that you have from the UK and some European countries to quickly get into America. So, you fill in this ESTA. And the ESTA is about 6 or 10 pages of information about each passenger. And you have to fill out every single one of those. So, that's normal always. And that's okay. That's all done. And you need a passport to do that. And I couldn't do Corey's until he had his passport as well. So that's that. But now with all of the COVID stuff, you have to have this thing. It's a 2-page document for everyone, 7 copies in my case, to say that everything you say in the future documents and your tests is true. Then all the kids need their PCR test as well, the proof of that. The people have had it, like, the 3 of us that have had it, we need letters from the doctors each, 1, 2, 3. We need the positive test results, 1, 2, 3. We need where the test was and what lab it was, what it was, 1, 2, 3. And there's a whole, just the reams and reams of information that needs to be gathered together. I have a file about an inch thick at the moment for all the documentation. And now there's this app called Verify, which gathers all of this information together, which is only active tomorrow. And the people that have had it, we can't be part of that. We have to do manual check-in. Robin, it's very messy.
I still don't understand why you didn't fly into Mexico and then just come up to the border.
Just walk up.
You would, no paperwork needed. They'll even give you money probably.
I'm very, very privileged. This is a first world problem. But you know, we're looking forward to taking away the kids to see their faces. I know Jasmine doesn't really understand, but she's very excited about roller coasters because we're watching lots of YouTube videos.
Right.
If you've been to Orlando, you'll know the Village of Celebration, which Disney built, and it snows. They have the false snow in their main street and stuff. So we're going there. I have a trip to Daytona Raceway planned. I have a karting sorted out
from
one of the fastest karting places in Orlando for the Lord of Us. We're going to where there's those parrots dinner, like a parrot dinner show thing, which is all organized. Usual spreadsheet.
Just do yourself a favor when you do when you do get to Universal, get on Velociraptor. Your mission.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I haven't done a Velociraptor. When we were there last, Hulk was being refurbished and I wasn't on it again. So I want to get back on the Hulk. I want a Buzz Velociraptor and Hagrid's motorcycle thing.
And the cool thing about Universal, I don't know if you knew this, they do what they call child swap. So like let's say you and Judith. You want to go.
Judith's not the fond of the big rise. Apart from me. I mean, after you've had me, everything else is like secondary.
Okay.
So COVID is, if you're vulnerable, you know, Jason and there's a few other guys that are in our community that are vulnerable. And I get that, you know, you got to be careful. We know that, but that would be the same for pneumonia or anything right now.
Right.
But for people that are healthy enough, like us guys and girls, don't be frightened of this thing. Don't let it kill you, ruin your life. Get vaccinated and get on with your life. And thank you for all the comments. And nice things that people have said and done. So thank you very much for that.
I'm pretty sure I haven't said one nice thing to you, but no, that's you okay.
No, that's why I made a big clear one night that you were cunts, all of you. I left you a video message, I believe. So and just finally, just while I'm chatting here before we go to Phil, and we'll come back to the media stuff in a minute. Maybe Phil will do that at the end. I just want to say Matt, a nation. Matt is pretty ill right now and he's in hospital. Yeah. And he is just an ultimate, just old codger, an old gummer. And he was complaining about being in a ward with old people and he wanted more people like around his own age. And then he realized that those people were his own age. We're organizing like a GoFundMe thing the other night to get him a stripper into the hospital. I actually gave him a call last night as well, and he scared the shit out of him. I think when he answered the phone, he said, "I'll call you back. I'll call you back." He was getting his bedpan changed, and it was inappropriate, so he did call me back. But all of us here and in the WhatsApp groups that are very active, we're reaching out to you, man, and hope that you recover and get out of the hospital very, very quickly.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. He is a true warrior. And he has been fighting for quite a while. So hang in there, Matt. Speaking of warriors, Phil, you've had quite the crazy past few weeks as well.
Yeah, it's been an odd one. So luckily not COVID, but heavy chest infections all around. Managed to cough up some blood, which was nice. A few days ago, but it was a one-off, so I'm not too worried about it now, but I was very worried about it at the time. And also it's been one of those weeks where everything's, it seems to be perfect storm where things just break. So we bought, we've only been in this house 2 years, we bought a new vacuum or Hoover, I don't know what you guys call them.
A vacuum.
New Dyson, that packed in after 2 years, so I've had to buy a new one. Lisa's PC ground to a halt, so a new PC was needed, and freezer packed in, so a new freezer was required.
Which works.
Yeah, Curries have done very well this week, out of me.
Well, let's talk real quickly about the whole vacuum thing, because I also had to buy a new vacuum. I have bought three vacuums now in the space of 1 month. We got new carpet installed in the house, and it is a what they call a soft shag. So I guess it's a, yeah, it's a soft shag. Yeah, it's Chia Goa. Nudge, nudge. Anyway, so it's a high pile carpet, but it's extremely soft, and so I hadn't even thought about this because we had an old Dyson that was dying. But it you know, ran on our old carpet just fine, which was also a higher pile carpet. And I was looking up the best vacuums out there, and the Shark Navigator Lift Away was really highly rated. So I bought it, put it all together, fired it up. Everything was fine. Wasn't really going to vacuum then and there because the guys had already installed the carpet and they had just vacuumed everything up after installing it. So, you know, waited about a week and stupidly get rid of the box and find out we turn the Shark on. It fucking won't go anywhere. It just bogs down into the carpet. I'm like, ah, great. So I'm like, this isn't going to work. Bought it through Amazon. So I set up the Amazon return. Then I realized I don't have a box for the vacuum, but we're going to buy a new vacuum. So my plan is I'm going to take the box from the new vacuum and I'll put the Shark in that and use that to return it. Fine. Yeah. So I said, you know what? Let's not mess around. We like the Dyson. I'll buy a new Dyson. Buy the new Dyson. Same fucking thing. This time, however, I bought the Dyson through Costco. So my plan now is I'm going to keep the Shark in the Dyson box, return that to Amazon, then just take the Dyson without a box back to Costco, return it to Costco. And in the meantime, I have begun this crazy research of carpet and vacuums and why is this happening. So it turns out all of the new self-adjusting vacuums actually do very poorly with the high pile soft carpet. So I bought a Hoover with adjustable height, and that works.
Yeah, that's a problem, you see. You're trying to be too clever. You're trying to be too flash, go for the top of the range, where Henry, you should be going much. A Henry or middle of the range. So our Dyson was battery operated as well. Absolutely fucking useless. 15 minutes.
We have three systems here. So we have a Dyson, the big purple one. It was about 700 or 800 quid a couple of years ago. It was what is it, the X11 or something? And it's a fucking piece of shit. It really is. It could suck a golf ball through a garden hose like my fucking granny used to do. It's a bit. We also have the internal vacuum. So we've got vacuum points all around the house. So you've just got a pipe and you plug it in. And in the kitchen, there's a wee slit underneath the kitchen counters. And you kick the slit open.
Which is
cool. It's really neat. What's it called?
I don't recommend kicking the slit open, for the record. That's a no-no.
But Judith got pissed off with the Dyson there not so long ago, and she got fed up carrying my big hose around. And she just went out and bought a Henry the Hoover. And fucking Henry the Hoover is awesome. Henry is actually the best-selling vacuum, I believe, in the world. Yep. More Henry sold than anything else. Yeah, so
I will say it's not the quietest thing in the world, but that's fine. It works. I could care less.
Sexy looking thing. Oh yeah, and we have the robot.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people are not like the robot sounds great in practice, but then suddenly the robot just decides it doesn't want to do certain rooms.
My robot doesn't here. Yeah. It's in here now. But anyway, as soon as you introduce your soft shagging. That's no good for robots. Robots are only good on tile or wooden floors.
So they need the hard shag.
Yeah. Even a rug confuses. a robot does.
You gotta love the vacuum is like terrified of carpet. Apparently, yeah. Can't do it. Sorry. All right. Anyway, Phil, right, what else?
Back in March, I received an email from an old tutor of mine when I was at art college back in the early 90s. And at the time, it was a catch-up email. So email out of the blue, how are you doing? All this has happened to me, you know, how's your life? That sort of thing. Really nice email. Started to reply and then shit hit the fan with COVID and family passing and et cetera, et cetera. And then last week, he reached out again to me. And I'm just going to put a photo. And I'm just going to put this into the chat because I don't want to put it into the share my screen just in case it crashes everything. But he sent me this photo.
Oh, now, wow. Okay.
That is me at age of 19 presenting a college radio show.
This is crazy. Phil, I never realized you actually have had hair.
That photo arrived and I literally broke down.
Ah.
Because
I had hair.
Yeah, it's all bad for hair. No, it was much simpler times, you know, seeing something like that. And I realized that's when I'm most happy, sort of.
Yeah.
Sounds recording behind the mic and everything. So that's given me a kick, a much needed kick, to look at setting up my own business, doing stuff, which I'm putting together at the moment and probably be able to say more in the new year. But yeah, it's really given me a boost and a sort of reality check of doing stuff that makes me happy.
Brilliant. It's nice to get that kind of reminder. It really is.
Yeah. And the last thing was, I don't know if you've seen the show Dope Sick yet.
No, I've seen it there, but I haven't watched it yet. Okay.
It is absolutely brilliant. So it's a eight-part series starring Michael Keaton and a whole lot of other famous faces. And it's about the OxyContin scandal with Purdue. And how that basically took, I don't know if it's Middle America, but places like Virginia, the mining communities, where OxyContin was prescribed as a painkiller and misrepresented on how addictive it was.
Goliath.
Absolutely brilliant show. Super. Huh. One of the best I've seen this year. Okay. So I highly recommend it. In the UK, it's on, I think it's on Disney Plus. I think it's a Hulu show.
Okay.
In the US.
Okay.
But definitely well worth watching.
Hmm. All right. Cool. I'll put an eye out for it. I've seen the name. I just don't think I've seen it on any of the services. But I mean, there's so many freaking services these days. Okay. For me, it's been an interesting week as well. Not crazy with any kind of illnesses or anything like that. It's actually a very positive week for me. Work-wise, it was a record-setting year for us, and we still have a couple weeks to go, so that has been fantastic.
Amazing.
Extra life. So I want to talk about this real quickly. So I received an invitation from Michelle Thompson, who is our regional person that heads up the Children's Miracle Network Hospital for the Irvine Hospital that we support. And she said, hey, we're going to do –
Catwoman?
I'm sorry, what?
She was Catwoman in Batman.
Yes, absolutely. She sent out an invite for all of the Extra Lifers that were supporting the hospital to meet up at a brewery and just have a little get together.
Very good.
And nice. I was able to make it and take the opportunity. So I met her. I met a couple of the other streamer guys and gals, I should say. Kate and Nate were the two prominent people that I was talking to most of the night. Super nice people. It was just kind of cool. It's just seeing it kind of like behind the curtain, if you will, or the actual like a touch point with who you're donating to. Yeah. And so the cool part was she had some gifts and prizes. So she had a t-shirt that's more of a unique Extra Life t-shirt, which is great because I don't think I talked about this before, but I got my Extra Life t-shirt this year, and I had asked for an extra large, and they sent me a youth extra large. So I can't wear that. So now I have at least an Extra Life shirt. And then, you know, she had some prizes. So we actually got a board game that I won, kind of like a elephant gift exchange type thing. And so, again, just a really cool moment just to catch up with people.
Yeah. Well deserved. Yes, nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, well deserved.
Besides that, I continue to watch Goliath. I continue to enjoy that thoroughly. I'm towards the end of season two. Okay. So I know I've got two more seasons to go, so I'm excited to keep going with it. Just a great show.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Seasons three and four get a bit out there.
Okay.
They start to introduce the out there in season three, don't they, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay. And then season four is a Hitchcock movie.
Complete. Yeah.
I look forward to it. Yeah. I also listened to an audio podcast called Halo Infinite Memory Agent. It's on Spotify. So this is similar to what they did for Halo 5 Guardian, where they had the audio kind of story podcast. Very similar to that. I will say, you know, it at times does feel a little bit of a, I don't know. I don't want to call it a promo piece, but it's just funny how much they position the Master Chief character as just like Superman, for lack of a better way to put it. And part of me wants them to dial that back a little bit, because everybody's like, oh, have you never heard of Master Chief kind of comments? And it's like, no, he's Spartan 117. I feel like there's some that should know him as Master Chief, but I think really when he's out and you just first meet him, it's Spartan 117. He's part of the bigger cog. I kind of want to see that moving forward. I'm a little tired of the he's more than bigger than life kind of positioning of his character. Just because I think there's so much more they can explore within Halo besides Master Chief, but that's me. I know a lot of people don't feel that way. Anyway, so yeah, so that is it. And
yeah, media wise, Yellowstone,
really
yes. good. On to season two now. It's excellent. It is.
Oh, it. You want to talk about going off the chains? It just wait.
Family. And really, at the end of season one and end of season two, that they really had done the thing that they'd done in season one with that guy on the horseback in the woods. I was quite surprised that they didn't do it. But anyway, spoilers. This morning, I watched the first episode of The Expanse. Season six has just been released and has started off really, really well. So I love The Expanse. It's a spacey thing. So it's very, very good. That's me all.
All right, cool. Well, I guess then we should talk about video games. Let's talk about some video games.
Gonna play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right.
All right, Robin, I think for the most part you didn't get much gaming in.
Well, there's two parts to it. Do you know when that time when you're like, I'm off, I'm going to be lying on the couch and I'm going to play games? No fucking way. No way is that going to happen. I was, my brain was fudge. And the other part of it was there was a big storm here on Tuesday, and the storm also hit England. But and this is part of sort of story time a bit as well, but two things. The storm came and it completely, hi Lord, knocked out our heating system. Our Nest completely died Tuesday. So that means that there was no heat out here whatsoever. And in the house, there was no heat. Now, thank God we have the big wood burning stove, which heated the living room and kitchen and sunroom and all downstairs, most of downstairs. But we were putting electric radiators in all the other rooms because it was getting so cold. And we identified, got an electrician out, and he said, no, it's a boiler. And the boiler man came out, no, it's your Nest. And then the Nest guy tried to talk me through some stuff, and he says, no, you got to phone Nest, which I did. And then my Nest guy can't get here until this Thursday coming. Now, yesterday, Judith was at a Love, Share and Foster event where they invited a lot of their fans along. And there was like 60 or 80 people turned up. And Judith was chatting about her heating not being on. My son will be round in an hour. And her son was round in an hour. And he had one little thing. And within an hour, our heating was up and going again. But because it was so cold, even when I was starting to feel a little bit better, I didn't come out here because it was so cold. The only game, but now to say that, Google, PR Nest, when I phoned them on Thursday to say we think this is what it is, they sent out two brand new thermostats, two links as well, which are these thermostats right. are £250, £220 a piece now. So, and these are out of warranty. We put these in the middle of 2017. That's just fabulous. But it turns out we didn't need them. So moral dilemma, what do you do with two complete Nest systems? Just store them, sell them, send them back? I don't know.
eBay. So, or your good friend, Phil.
Sitting on the couch in front of the fire with Judith, I pulled out the Switch. And I played around with the Nintendo Online stuff, which I'd never done before. And there was a trial for that Nintendo. And it opens up a load of old games. And I had never played, believe it or not, Super Metroid, which is a very cool game. It is one of those, what do you call it?
Side scroller.
No, it's when you parts
Metroidvania.
Of course, fucking hell, Robin. That's the most common thing you've ever done in your life. That's where that name comes from. Well, do you know what? Wow, this game has the same name as that.
Amazing.
They named it after that.
Wow. Okay, well, Super Metroid, your Yamas, whatever, and it is a Metroidvania game. Of course it is. It's a Mia's game, and it's very interesting. It is actually from 1994.
I have it up on screen right now. It looks every bit of 1980 or 84.
I don't know. I thought it looks all right actually on the little Switch screen. So you know the gameplay is pretty good. The way the Switch works is there are save points in Super Metroid, but you can cheat on the Switch where you press the two back paddly things and you can grab a save state anywhere.
Okay.
Which is a handy thing. So I've been flicking around some of that stuff there, and I'll probably bring the Switch with me when I'm away. But that's the only thing I was fit for. While Judith was sitting watching the horrible friggin' thing in Wales, C-rated celebrity. I have nothing to do. I need some money. Get me out of here. I put the Switch on for an hour beside her and played Super Metroid. So I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. In a week where Halo is here, I haven't came out and had it on at all. So I'm sorry. But yeah, Super Metroid, still a classic game. Classic.
All right. No worries at all. I mean, it's good to go retro sometimes. And obviously the best part about this is you had a device that saved you from having to watch the telly.
Yeah.
Phil, let's talk about what you've been playing. You've got a few different games here.
Yeah. So
what do you want to start with?
So let's start with Evil Genius 2.
Okay.
So this has just come out a couple of weeks ago on Game Pass, where most of my gaming seems to be at the moment. I can't remember the last time I bought a game, to be honest, because everything I've played is through Game Pass. It's just ridiculously good. Anyway, so Evil Genius 2 is a simulation game, city building, base building game. You could say it is right down my street. And
it seems kind of like Hospital 2.0 kind of.
Yeah, it is. It's like Hospital 2.0. It's like, it's probably actually the closest to it. But you are an evil genius, okay. And you're setting up your lair, your base, to take on various governments and countries. It's very tongue in cheek. you it's an underground lair, so you build rooms, and they have to have enough power. You know, you have minions who come and work for you, but they have to have bedrooms and usual stuff. You know, you have to have enough lockers, and you have to have somewhere to put your gold as well, so that for your various spying missions that you have to undertake against other countries and other powers, you need somewhere to store your gold. I've spent a couple of hours on it. It's quite in depth. It's a lot more in depth than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Right. It looks so pretty.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to be able to just jump in. I think it's probably more complex than Two Point Hospital. And I can see me spending quite a lot of time playing it. It's pretty good. There were a few things early on where it was a bit fiddly. When you're building the rooms, the doors to the rooms have to be four blocks wide, and sometimes those don't fit, and it gets a bit fiddly in there. But in the whole, it's a nice looking game. I think it's been out for quite a while on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already lots of DLC that you can buy as well. So so yeah, it's if you like that sort of thing, if you like Hospital 2.0. And your simulation type games with very tongue in cheek, then give it a go.
All right, awesome. No, it looks really fun. I dig these kind of games, and I think, you know, the humor of Hospital 2.0, I have to imagine, is kind of similar in this game, where it let's face it, you're an evil genius. You're exactly, building your lair, yeah, and you're trying to kill the good guys. So
exactly, it's really tongue in cheek, and the various weapons and the various different plans that you have to come up with are quite out there and ridiculous. So yeah, it's good fun.
All right.
The other game, next game I've been playing, is a little game called Townscaper. Now, in all fairness, I picked this up purely to get easy achievements, because I heard it was an easy achievement game. But this game is absolutely lovely. There is no
interesting. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at it on screen real quickly.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it, at first, oh, it's another kind of base building type game, but it's almost like world building.
It's like world building. There doesn't seem to be a story or any. It's almost like a tech demo. Yeah, it's almost like a tech demo. Oh. You've got an open sea, and you place blocks into the sea to build a raised platform. Stone raised platform, and if you put another block on that level, it becomes a house, and then you add more buildings to it, add more blocks to the sides, and it becomes a lighthouse or a port, and then you can take blocks away as well. There's no story behind it at all, not that I've seen so far.
So what is the goal, or is it just to see what you can make?
Yeah, I think it is. As I say, it's like a tech demo, and it's good for it's quick to load. It's good for, you know, a sort of palate cleanser between games for 10, 15 minutes, if that, just to play and see what happens. I have seen some others. So as you put various combinations of blocks in and various angles, it comes up with a garden, or it comes up with different types of stairs and ports and all sorts of things. So it's a fun thing. As I say, I think it's probably a tech demo. It looks lovely, really, really nice. So we'll see. As I say, just keep popping back into it every so often to get an achievement. It's a pretty easy 1,000 points if anyone wants it.
Okay. So it has achievements too. That's interesting. So it has achievements, but it doesn't have a goal.
Yeah. So an achievement will be build the tallest tower that you can. So each world has a maximum number of blocks, and so you just keep adding the blocks onto it. And it's things like build a garden. So if you build a square house, you know, with sort of eight blocks in the middle, it'll automatically put a garden. And again, there's no, unless I'm completely missing something. And if you're listening, please let us know if I'm missing something. But there doesn't seem to be anything for it at all. At least with something like Unpacking, there was some sort of story to it. But I think this, it's just
nice. Design what you want to design.
Exactly. Okay. Very, right. Very short term. And finally, I know I talk about it every time I come on. My now most played game of all time, according to the Xbox 20th anniversary museum, is Sea of Thieves. And season 5 has just been released, where more importantly than anything else, you can now sit down.
Oh, well, that this game of the year material.
You can now sit down. No, it's what they've done this time. Instead of previous seasons have been around parts of the Caribbean, or they've been around underground shrines, and there's evil mermaids trying to, you know, kill you and everything. This is a quality of life update, as they've called it. So it's there isn't anything specific to do. There's no new stories or anything to do. They've fixed a lot of bugs. They've added things like fireworks, which are unbelievably good fun to let off. You put them in the cannons and fire them off. They look stunning. You can do things like there's a new rowboat with a cannon on, which is fantastically good fun. You can now bury treasure. So before you were digging up treasure, you can now bury treasure. And when you bury your treasure on an island, you get a treasure map. And you can either post that treasure map on a notice board in one of the ports, and other players can pick up that treasure map and go and dig up your treasure. And when they sell your treasure, you get the money and a little bit extra XP.
Okay.
Or if you can steal maps from other people. So if you sneak aboard another ship or you sink another ship, you can actually take their maps and go and dig up their treasure themselves.
I take it there's a way then that there's not going to be thousands of pieces of treasure planted everywhere.
I'm sure there's going to be.
Yeah, so a server, when you're on the server, there's a maximum of 6 ships.
Okay.
So there were all, you know, and it's probably a while since you guys have played, but the map is pretty huge. But there's only ever 6 ships, and they've said that's down to technical restrictions, especially if you know with older consoles.
I would have to think it also probably makes the gameplay a little bit more digestible, because if you had more than 6 ships, you think about it, the 6 different crews. Let's say you had 12, it just becomes mass chaos. Yeah. At least with 6, you can kind of skirt around.
You've got a good chance of not bumping into people, at least running away from people. I play solo most of the time, so I tend to run away. I tend to run away because, you know, I'm not very good at naval warfare, and really you need 2 people on the ship, one to steer and sail the boat, and the other one to sit on the cannon. You can also sleep now. So there are beds that you can sleep, and it regains your health very slowly. And if you stay on there for a couple of minutes, you get some other noises apart from snoring that you may hear when you're asleep. And again, it's just done in a great sense of humor. The community have been fantastic about it, and it's just a really nice, it's probably one of the most popular releases.
You know, I'm surprised, by the way, I don't think this was mentioned as one of the most supported or ongoing supported games in the Video Game Awards, if I remember correctly, which surprises me now that I'm seeing this and thinking about this, because they've supported this game really well.
And they've won at the Video Game Awards before for the most supported. But again, it's the amount of content they're putting out, and they've hinted at quite a few more collaborations and licensing deals. So obviously the Disney Pirates Life stuff was their biggest, but they've hinted that they've got some even bigger licensing deals.
Okay.
So it's, I think I'm on, played it for, I think 14, 15 days in total.
Wow. That's right up there. That's Call of Duty sort of time that is. Wow.
It's, I think my second one was Titanfall 2, but, and that's, you know, days and days behind. So it's, yeah, and my son has just started playing it as well. So with his friends. So I've been trying to get him to play it for a long time. But it's, yeah, it's great. Slow loading times being on Xbox One X. Right. He's got an S and it's a lot faster and looks prettier. But yeah, it's, love it.
Joystick Chill says that they should add the ability to pee overboard. Nobody's going to board a ship that has load of dudes peeing on the side of it.
You'd be very surprised. I think you get lots of people boarding.
Yeah. They're into that kind of thing, Phil. All right.
Everyone loves a sailor.
Oh, I'm not even going to say anything. All right. Let's see where to start. I'll start with the okay, this is the cool one for the week. So I played the Matrix Awakens Unreal Engine experience.
Okay. I watched the trailer or the sort of bit of gameplay, IGN's like first 5 minutes sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a tech demo at its core. It's not a game, but you do get to play it. It looks amazing. One of the things when you first fire it up, you're kind of thinking you're watching live action, but I believe everything you see in the Matrix Awakens demo is, you know, basically CGI recreated in Unreal Engine 5. So when you think about that and think about what you see, it's mind blowing. I don't know we'll ever see a game look this good, at least not in the current systems. I think it'll still take a little while, but who knows? But it is a very cool experience. It is free to download. I believe it's only next-gen consoles.
Yeah.
Is it showing off the Unreal 5 engine? Isn't that what it is?
Yes, yeah. It's all built in Unreal 5 engine. And once you just soak in and realize it is – in Unreal Engine 5, that's when you really start to be like, oh, holy crap, this is kind of amazing. And what the other cool thing the demo does is it walks you through, it shows you visual, like the technical side of the visual elements they've added or when they're on or off, like turning like HDR on or off, things like that. So you get this very like in-depth kind of technical view of this world that they built, and then you get to go in and play in the world, and it opens up, and it's basically, you know, think about being in a big GTA world where you're able to just kind of walk around, and at any point in time you can go up into basically drone view and just kind of hover and fly around the city and check things out. I didn't think there was a ton more to do, so I didn't really play around with it too much more beyond that. But it is just so impressive once you just get in to play it. So, and if you don't have a Series X or a PlayStation 5 to be able to play it, you can still go download, on YouTube, watch the video of it, because I think it's still impressive enough, even just watching it, understanding this is all in-engine video game created, not... it's not a movie set. This is console capable graphics. Yeah.
Is it interactive at all?
It is. Yeah. So they get you into a car chase moment where you are shooting at vehicles. And so, the interaction there is it's a bit guided, but it's still you're firing weapons into the vehicles and making them explode, shooting characters that are jumping at you. And then once that part ends, they put you in the real world of the city, and your character, you can just walk around the entire city anywhere you want to go. So and at least that's where I left it at. I did not try to explore any further in the world environment. So there might have been additional things to do. But from what I could tell, it just kind of lets you run around and kind of play in the environment. But the play was pretty limited to just running around and just checking things out and seeing things. So, and then from there, I dove into Halo Infinite. So this released this past week, a campaign, and I have to say, I mean, I love the game. I'm very much enjoying the campaign, so I have no complaints. But it's interesting. I think they have effectively, in some ways, kind of recreated the first Halo game in Halo Infinite. Because I think a lot of the moment-to-moment things felt very similar to what you felt in the original Halo game. Onboard ship battles and then getting down onto the surface of the Halo ring and seeing the big open, you know, environments. Although in this world, the open environments feel much, much bigger than anything you experienced before in a Halo game. And so I'm impressed. I'm very much enjoying the campaign so far. I'm probably about an hour into it. I haven't really been able to spend a ton of time, unfortunately, but what I've played so far, absolutely, it feels good. And I think it's delivering what so many critics of previous Halo games wanted, which was, you know, recreate the magic of the first game. I think they do a good job of that. It does have a bit of a Far Cry feel to it, in that there are encampments that you will attack and try and take over. And when you do take over that outpost, you'll see additional information populate on the screen. But it's not nearly at the level of a Far Cry or an Assassin's Creed game where you're just like, oh, you know, icon overwhelmed. And direction wise, the cutscenes and the cinematics are all super well done. I think they do just the right amount. You're sitting there watching endless movies, but they are really good quality cutscenes that kind of get you into the characters, the story, and set the stage for the next elements of the campaign. Look, if you have Game Pass, you have no excuse. Go play this game. I think it looks fantastic even on the One X and the original Xbox One S. Or even if you have an original Xbox One, you can play this game. It looks good. It looks even better in the next generation consoles and plays super smooth. I think the only other thing I'll talk about is just the added elements of the equipment. So this is kind of a harken back to, I think Halo 4 introduced like equipment abilities. So like you had the drop shields, that kind of thing. So this has that kind of similar equipment add-ins, but I feel these feel a little bit more natural. In particular, the grappling hook is something that you get from the get-go in Infinite, and it makes this game feel like it is a blend of the original Halo and Titanfall 2. Because the grapple hook allows you so much more movement and just even more than Titanfall 2, the ability to grapple a gun and pull it to you, or grapple a enemy character or a canister of the energy, the explosive energy, a lot of different ways in which you can now start to play differently in Halo than you ever have before. And I really like that addition. It makes this game feel like it is in the modern gaming, you know, universe, as opposed to stuck in the old ways of Halo. Just nothing but good things to say about the game so far. My understanding is the average play time should be about 10 to 12 hours. You could probably speed run it at like 7 hours if you're really just focusing on nothing but campaign and you're just blitzing through it. And they're saying the full playthrough is probably close to 30 hours if you're trying to be a completionist, which, right. Mark definitely will be doing that. Excellent. Halo Infinite. It's a really good game.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I've been playing some of the multiplayer. over the last couple of weeks. Really enjoying it, getting back into it. There's a lot of very good people playing it though. It's, you know, I can still hold my own a bit, you know, sort of getting second or third, but there's some really good players. But I think I've probably been nervous to start it because I'm still on a 1X.
Right. The 1X looks, I mean, if you're going to play it on an older system, the 1X actually looks quite good.
Yeah. So I'll probably get into it this week. Halo was the original reason why I bought an Xbox back in the day. So it's absolutely.
Robin playing with his devices, apparently.
And it's inappropriate.
I just accidentally hit the weather app button and it talks to you.
Right. I distinctly heard you porn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Weather app.
Halo Infinite looks absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to start playing it.
I mean, it is a strong finish for Microsoft for the year. You really think about, you know, the narrative of the past quarter, Halo Infinite and Forza Horizon 5, two juggernaut games, fantastic. They feel like they are flagship titles. And so I think, you know, granted, these are still part of the staple of Microsoft titles, but all those people worried about Game Pass not being able to deliver big AAA games, I think that narrative is completely dead at this point. I think Microsoft has proven they're committed to really – they're in this for the long haul, and they're willing to make the effort to compete at the AAA level, not just kind of sub-tier. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Hey, before we go on – Phil, would you do me a favor? I know you've been looking at the chat. Let's just give a quick shout out to anybody that is in there. I think I saw there was Lord in there. I think Gamer Girl was in there. So I just want to make sure we give them some love.
So we had Kim popped in earlier. She's got a fair few chores and people to look after today. So that's not why she's not with us. But we've got Odyssea Hentyeshen. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Joysticks and Chill, never heard of them.
No.
No. It's probably no. John.
It is. Ruffians.
Lords was in there. Let's see who else. Yeah. So So I think it's John from Joysticks and Chill has been saying that we should start some Halo multiplayer.
Absolutely.
I think so. I think that would be fun. I was having a chat with Nicole about the same thing.
All right, excellent. Yeah, we used to have some good fun back in the day.
I remember rocket races. That's all right. Let's dive into the news, Robin. Let's.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so it is that time of year where pretty much there's not much going on in terms of the news. However, the one good thing that does happen this time of year is that we get the Video Game Awards show. And so we had the Video Game Awards show just this past week. And so I thought we would real quickly do the rundown of the VGAs. I have all of the awards, and we could run through those fairly quickly because there's a lot in there that who cares. But we also have all of the reveals. And so there were some kind of cool reveals in there. But also wanted to before we dive into that, let's just real quickly talk to – have either of you watched the full Video Game Awards show?
No, I've
no.
Okay. So then my opinion rules, and you have no ability to say anything otherwise. My impression of the Video Game Awards, it was long. It was over 3 hours long, and that was too long. But I did feel like they, you know, every year Jeff Keighley has been making a good push towards making this something Oscars-like. And I felt like, you know, he has kept that push and that momentum forward. And so this year, more than any other year, this felt almost like a proper award show. And the thing that probably keeps it from being a proper award show is the fact that it really is a game reveals show with awards sprinkled into it. But I do like the look and the vibe the show gives off. It just it feels almost Oscars-esque or the People's Choice Award, something like that. So I like that. I think we do need something like this in the industry. And I don't know we're ever going to have just a pure award show that people are really going to want to watch. Because I think even shows like the Oscars these days, you know, their numbers are going down. People just don't necessarily want to just watch an award show. Well, okay. There are exceptions.
I watch the Oscars when I can. So yeah. I really enjoy them. I know lots of people don't. But as far as the games show is concerned, you know, at least with the Oscars, or for me anyway, you know, I'm seeing actors and directors and, you know, screenwriters or whatever, composers that I recognize.
Right.
As in recognize visually. From a games point of view, I don't think, as you say, without the reveals, for me personally, it doesn't have the draw. It's good to hear who's won, but, you know, people going up to accept awards and everything, not interested.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't have the same kind of gravity to it.
Yeah.
That being said, the only other thing to talk about in this, so, you know, Jeff Keighley came under fire earlier in the week when he put out a statement basically kind of saying that, you know, they were looking at the Activision situation, but they weren't going to, it was basically kind of a very neutral statement. He didn't want to say anything against Activision because he didn't want to hurt the developers that work there, but they're monitoring things moving forward. He came out with a little bit stronger statement at the award ceremony, basically condemning any kind of workplace environment that is, harmful to the employees, without naming Activision, without naming a Ubisoft or any actual developers. And again, I don't think he could. I think he was stuck in a rock and a hard place because Activision sits on the board of the Video Game Awards. So it's not like he could go in hard on Activision and basically say, you know, the management of Activision are these evil people. I'm not trying to say that they are or aren't, but his response was, again, a bit tempered. But at least he said something, and I think that at least satisfied some of the Twitterverse. Okay, that said, let's get into the awards, the actual awards. So I'm just going to start running through these very quickly because there's quite a few of them. And a lot of these also, by the way, get announced, and they're announced in a sense kind of off screen. And so several different moments in the Video Game Awards, they would do a quick rundown of like three or four awards all in a row without any fanfare, without any, you know, people coming up on stage and, you know, giving their speech.
Yeah, there's just a few of them are a bit thin.
Yes. Games for Impact, Life is Strange, True Colors, not really surprising that would have that win. Reddit's Game of the Year, Resident Evil Village. Okay. Best Esports Athlete, Simple. Best Esports Team Name, Best Esports Team, not their name. Natas Vincera. Best Esports Coach. I mean, honestly, who cares about esports at this point? But that's just me. They did a Best Esports Event, League of Legends World Championship. Then we get into actually what I would call proper, awards. So Best Audio Design, Forza Horizon 5. Best Independent Game, Kena Bridges of Spirits. Best Debut Indie Game, Kena Bridges of Spirits. Best Performance, Maggie Robertson, who played in Resident Evil Village. I would also like to point out she had an extremely deep plunge dress on, which was appreciated. Best Action Game, Returnal. What was that, Robin?
Do you want to borrow it?
Just motorboat it. All right. Best Art Direction, Deathloop. Best Players Voice Award. Players Voice Award.
What does
Halo
that mean?
Infinite.
What does that mean?
Just use your imagination, Robin.
Use your phone. Use your phone on that site you were at.
Best role-playing game, Tales of Arise. Best score and music, Nier Replicant. Content creator of the year, Dream. Best multiplayer game, It Takes Two. Best multiplayer game, It Takes Two. So again, I found it interesting. They were like, you know, the timing of the awards, the timing of games coming out definitely impacts this stuff. It was interesting that Halo Infinite, by the way, won Player's Voice Award. And I think deservedly.
Sorry. I thought it was, oh God, there's another fucking Sharon moment. Okay.
Yep. Keep on motorboating.
It was like Master Chief's voice is whose player's voice, that person voice actor got the award. But I understand now. I will hide in shame.
Oh, we still love you, Robin. We still love you. Hey, best multiplayer game, It Takes Two. Interesting that they call that best multiplayer game. It is a co-op game only, but okay. Yeah, why not? I've heard great things about that game. Best mobile game, Genshin Impact. Here was an interesting one. Best narrative, Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy. I was a little bit surprised by this. I thought there were other stronger contenders for narrative, but
it's getting a lot of good press.
It has gotten a lot of good press. Best action adventure game, Metroid Dread. Best ongoing game, Final Fantasy XIV. Best community supported game, Final Fantasy XIV. Innovation in accessibility, Forza Horizon 5. Best sports racing game, Forza Horizon 5. This was the walk away for them, because what was their competition? There really wasn't much competition this year. Best game direction, Deathloop. Best esports game, League of Legends. Best family game, It Takes Two. Best fighting game, Guilty Gear Strive. Best strategy game, Age of Empires 4. Most anticipated game, Elden Ring. And finally, game of the year, It Takes Two.
Poor year. I believe It Takes Two, and I know Pete and his wife had played it, and quite a few other people, and said it was great fun and all, but really? That's okay. Great for them. Brilliant. Little small company and all that, but wow.
Yeah, and of course, I forgot the guy's name that is the developer, the main developer on it. Yosef, I think is his name. He's the guy that always drops the F-bombs on camera when he's at the VGAs. And of course, he did it again. He said, we are on our way to fucking beating the Oscars. So I do love his passion. And I love the fact that he just really like hammers the Oscars, you know, every year. It's just kind of funny. All right. So the most important part of the VGAs, though, was the game reveals. And so there were quite a few game reveals. And so we're going to kind of walk through them. Trying to think, I think we might have one missing in the list because they did show off Hellblade 2, but that might have been right before the actual reveals. But anyway, so these are all actual reveals, games that we haven't seen before. I guess that's really what this title is all about. So here we go. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is an online game, it looks like, basically like the Friday the 13th game that came out.
Yeah.
Same vibe, same thing. Homeworld 3, which I was kind of surprised to see. I didn't know the Homeworld series was continuing forward, but it is. So Homeworld 3 is coming. Here's a game that might excite Robin. Telltale's The Expanse.
Ooh, wow. I read that. Didn't read that. Yes, yeah, that would. If that's done in the same style, that's a very interesting premise there. Yeah.
Yeah. Chivalry 2 House of Aberfell or Aberfell. I've never played the Chivalry game, but a lot of people seem to like it, so who knows, maybe it's going to be great. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, again, I think the Monster Hunter fans of the world are going to love this. Me personally, I never got into Monster Hunter. Thirsty Suitors, I missed this reveal, so I have no idea what this is. I think I kind of had tuned out or was fast forwarding through some of this because I did watch the show after it had aired, and so there were moments where I just started to fast forward a little bit.
Skate and cook your way through love in Thirsty Suitors.
Okay.
Cooking and skating, of course.
Cooking and skating. What could go wrong? Have a nice day, or sorry, have a nice death. Don't have a nice day. Have a nice death. That was revealed. And then Persona 4 Arena Ultimate Ultimax for PC, PS4, Steam, and Switch.
Because
the more I see of Persona games, the less I want to play them. I just want to throw that out there. The big surprise reveal, in quotes, was Wonder Woman. So that is coming out. And I'm trying to remember, this wasn't Rocksteady. Who is it that's doing Wonder Woman?
Just looking now.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Wow.
Yeah. You know.
Monolith.
Monolith. There we go.
Oh, thank okay.
you. So we did get a chance to see Suicide Squad. I don't think it's on the list, but they did show off Suicide Squad. And that actually looks really good. So that obviously is Rocksteady. So that is their next game. I was quite impressed with what I saw of Suicide Squad. Wonder Woman, there's really nothing that is revealed other than they're making a Wonder Woman game. So, you know, TBD on whether or not this is something that's really great or not. But it was definitely not on anybody's radar. Alan Wake 2 got announced and shown off. It is a survival horror game this time around. So they are moving away from action to survival horror. They had the head of Remedy on stage talking about it, and he definitely said you know, they wanted to take this in a new direction, and so they're going survival horror with the game. What that really means, I don't know, but we'll see. Then the new Quantic Dreams game was announced, and this looks fantastic. Star Wars Eclipse. So this is definitely going to be a Jason, but it'll probably be Luke. But yeah, Star Wars Eclipse, it looks really cool. I have to admit, I'm excited for this game. It's coming, I think, to all platforms. And I believe Epic's behind the development. They're publishing this one. Final Fantasy VII Remake for PC, the game that, I mean, everybody seems to care about, but nobody cares about. Destiny 2 The Witch Queen, quite an extensive reveal trailer for this. If you were into Destiny, this looks pretty cool. When I first saw this, I was like, what game is this? Because it doesn't look like Destiny anymore to me. It very much has a different vibe and feel, but it looks great. Slitherhead.
Oh, it's scary.
Yeah. Then Nightingale, Beat Saber, Lady Gaga. Then they had a big on-stage musical thing to reveal Cuphead, the Delicious Last Course. So they're finally completing the game with their final DLC, which really is an expansion on the game. Sonic Frontiers also revealed. Then they talked about the actual movie as well. And so they kind of had a trailer for that. And then they showed off some of the gameplay. Then a game, honestly, I don't even think Phil would be excited for this one, but you know, Warhammer Space Marine 2 was announced. This looks pretty awesome. It does.
This was completely, you know, took, you know, the fans of the first one on the 360 and PS3, I think, and PC would have just gone mental this, because this was just completely out of the blue. I know Kim was very excited. It's one of her favorite games. It's one of, I think it's my favorite game on the 360. And it takes the character that you play in the first game, Titus, and he's now a lieutenant. So something's happened. He was a captain before. He's been downgraded to a lieutenant. And if you're into the lore, he's now been made a Primaris Marine, which is a bigger, much bigger Space Marine, which was just a cash cow for Games Workshop because, no, literally, they had the original miniatures of Space Marines. They realized that anyone who was going to buy Space Marines over the 20 years or so had probably got enough of them. So they wrote into the law that some technology had been found which meant that Space Marines could become Primaris Space Marines, which were upgraded Marines and quite a bit bigger, which meant that everyone started needing to buy new armies and spend lots of money. They are better. I mean, they are much better sculpts and everything. But this game, you're up against the Tyranids, who are a sort of insectoid lizard type race that very much hoard armies that just consume everything, all living matter. They just consume. So it looks fantastic. Very excited.
All right. Yeah, it does look great. So, we'll see. Yeah. Then they announced Dune Spice Wars. I didn't have a real big... I'm still not sold on Dune being a really big property thing, even though they're trying to resurrect it with the movie, et cetera. So Among Us VR, for those VR fans, you're going to get an Among Us game. Then Star Trek The Resurgence was announced.
Yeah.
Looks interesting.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say what caught my eye with this was from the creators of – it said from the Telltale creators of Batman and some of the others. So it's almost like it's a Telltale game. And just looking at this and the Expanse Telltale game, they're no longer going for the comic sort of cel-shaded look.
Right.
That you traditionally find. It's a much more 3D, a lot more polished version of the games. But if it's the same storytelling and quality of storytelling, they're going to be great.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, to be perfectly honest, what the gameplay was going to be like, what the gameplay loop of this game was. I did not realize actually this was Telltale. So that makes more sense to me now. I'm very curious. Definitely want to see more. Then they had Rumbleverse. I don't know anything about this game. So there's that. Then they announced or showed off the Halo TV series. I'm, again, cautiously optimistic because it looked like the production values are there.
Yeah.
From the enemy characters, from the special effects. So we shall see. And then finally, Arc Raiders, which actually looks kind of cool. I got to admit, I was a little surprised by this one. That's coming up, I believe, next year. And that will be one on my radar. I guess to be determined for sure. But yeah, so that's the rundown. Obviously, I know Warhammer Space Marine for you, Phil, was a big standout. Robin, anything that really jumped out at you that caught your eye?
I'd like to see the Alan Wake 2 thing because I was a fan. I really enjoyed it. The Halo TV, yes, I would agree with you there. I have just stuck on that mobile game onto my device to have a look at it. It looks like it's a Japanese type-y thing. What was it called again? I've forgotten it already, and I'll probably the best esports, best mobile game, Genshin Impact. That Telltale Expanse, of course. And do you know what? I suppose I was a bit down on It Takes Two. I think it's because of COVID and the last couple of years. There hasn't. I know we've got the big Halo game out now. It's too soon for an award. And Forza, almost too soon for an award. But there really doesn't seem to have been everything's been delayed. The big, big stuff has been delayed. So, not terribly fussed.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, so here's a quick question. And so we'll wrap up the conversation on the Game Awards. But this is actually something Kim and I were talking about last week on the show. And since I have the two of you on the show, thinking about this past year, what game... Or, you know, it can be multiple games and it can be negative or positive, but really has stuck with you or stands out with you in your recollection of the year, whether it be positive or negative. Doesn't have to be your game of the year. Not asking for a list, but it was just kind of reflecting back. Is there a game or two that really, for one reason or another, you always remember? You're always thinking about and kind of is in your mind, you know, likely for positive reasons, but just kind of curious what that might be for both of you. Why don't we start? All right, Robin. So Mass Effect, the trilogy.
Yeah, so, the The rework. Yeah,
I'm on the rework.
Yeah, I think since the last time I was on, I didn't mention it, but I've played another few hours of Mass Effect 3 again. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So yeah, I'm playing 1 and 2 again and into 3 this year. So yeah, that's the thing I think about most of my year for gaming.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And Phil, I don't know, what about you?
Yeah, so there was, I'm trying to remember what it's called, the Artful, what was it called? It's called The Artful Escape.
Oh, yes.
That, for me, that's probably one of the most memorable games for me this year. It really struck a chord, well, literally, because it's about air guitars and stuff. But really enjoyed playing that, and it brought a lot of light to me. And to be honest, rediscovering Sea of Thieves. I haven't played it for a few years since it first came out, and that has given me a lot of quiet time and being able to, you know, switch off and refocus. So so yeah, The Artful Escape, probably my game of the year, to be honest, but and Sea of Thieves.
All right, cool. Well, again, there you go. Just a couple of games to throw at listeners. If you haven't played any of those, maybe put them on your list. All right, Phil, I'm actually going to keep you going here real quickly. Let's talk about the games coming out in the coming week. We have a few, actually, new releases coming. So that's kind of always nice to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, so for December 12th to 16th, we have Shovel Knight Pocket Edition. For PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC, and that's December 13th. We've got Among Us, finally, on December 14th on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Be very interested to play this. I know it's on Game Pass. I'm pretty sure it's on Game Pass. So that'll be one to try, finally. The Smurfs, Mission Viliath Smurftastic Edition on PlayStation 5.
Sorry, what?
Where the Smurfs are coming from?
Mission Viliath Smurftastic Edition. That looks like it's an exclusive for the PS5.
There you go.
Fantastic. December 14th. Alien Isolation on iOS and Android, December 16th.
What?
So that could translate quite well to tablets.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate on PC, December 16th. That amazing game series, Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC on December 16th. I'm not a fan of the Five Nights at Freddy's.
I don't get Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like you're watching security cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's forbidden fruit for kids that think they're playing something that's really bad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, they shouldn't be playing a horror game. So.
All right.
And finally, The Gunk, which sounds like something that Robin has been suffering with, on Xbox Series X and X, Xbox One, and PC, December 16th. And that, I believe, is Game Pass as well.
Yeah, that actually is a game I'm really kind of curious to check out. It was one of the early reveals, I think, for the Series X. They talked about it. It's an exclusivity deal they did. It reminds me a lot of a more polished, what was the Galactic Rock game where they were mining for rocks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember the title of it. But anyway, it kind of reminds me a little bit of that. But you're not obviously playing a dwarf and you're not on asteroids mining for rocks. But yeah.
Nothing to do with that sort of thing whatsoever. It's something completely different. Yes.
Probably.
Ah, yeah.
Anyway, all right. Awesome. Stuff to play.
There's a question in the chat.
Okay. It
says, why am I dressed like Big Bird?
Well, you know, Martin, it is a good thing you asked this question. So Robin and I have this interesting back and forth going on. Robin has repeatedly sent me just bizarre things. It started with a rice ball shaker. And then what made me get Robin this lovely sweatshirt was he sent me a blanket. It's a very soft blanket, extremely soft. But this blanket is a gigantic circular Well, it's a tortilla. It looks like a tortilla. It is a giant tortilla blanket. And my wife just looks at me and she's like, has he been drinking again? And I said, ironically, I think so. So, but that then, of course, spurred our back and forth between my wife and I, and we came up with a plan that I needed to buy Robin. Originally, it was going to be ramen pants, but I could not get ramen pants in the UK for some dumb reason. So I found a ramen chicken noodle soup sweatshirt and sent that to him. So that's why he looks like Big Bird. And I also sent him the best ramen noodles out there that you can buy.
It's the only reason why I'm going to America this week.
Ramen shopping. Extra suitcase to pack. Excellent. All right. Robin, let's talk real quickly about VGAs, because I know we've stalled out a little bit here.
Yeah, so just since I've been on last, Victory Achieved, so we're just going to rattle through these now. Thank you very much, guys, for completing the games. We're going to, when I come back, I'm going to do a little break, and we'll do, on the first show of the new year, we'll do a draw for the last quarter, and then maybe something special, just to maybe to close it out for a while. So our Victory Achievers, we've got Kim there finishing Gears of War 4. We had Mr. Miyagi in Australia, good lad. Sly 3, Honor Among Thieves. I'm sorry, mate. Yeah, Victory Achieved is ending. This may be my last one. Hope the community can keep giving game recommendations. Yep, thank you very much, Mr. Miyagi. Finishing games have been weird. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it.
Is that a PSP?
He just loves the old classic game. Just a champion of them. I just want to think about it while I'm away. Dan, The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings Enhanced Edition. Wow, Dan. Wow. And The Witcher Enhanced Edition Director's Cut as well. And, of course, we had Lord finished Omno on Game Pass. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Even got 100G. I like it so much. Sorry, no picking it up with my Razer Kishi. So well
it's
done.
It's a great game.
Well done, you guys. Thank you very, very much. Here we are. Victory achieved.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
That sound effect is never going away.
It should never go away. We will rebirth that sound effect for something else, but it will stay. It also, every time I hear that, I just get a little tight in my throat because I get the sensation like I'm going to be victory achieved. And yeah, you can capture that sound effect too. Hey everybody, thank you so much for being in the chat, listening to the show. It is all about community, and we love everybody in our community, and not everybody.
Fuck's sake.
I mean, that Kim chick, she's Kim is kind of a diva. She's a pain in the ass. We put up with her.
Jeez, yeah.
It's a couple of hundred. It's a couple of hundred of them that I really love. Well, like 150 or 25. There's maybe 10 of them I really like. And 5 of those I can't stand. There's 2 at least I'm fond of. I think I like myself more than anything else.
We know this, actually.
I'm a fascist. Damn it. I'm breaking new ground.
You're going to try and be more positive?
I'm taking this to America. I'm going to take my Let's Go, Brandon.
Robin, let's face it. You took the right step in being more positive. You were positive for COVID, right? Yeah. So small baby steps. Here we go. Look, come back next week. We will have another show next week. It'll probably be a different mixture of people, but we'll be here and we're going to talk video games again. We'll probably start getting into our game of the year conversations a little bit more in depth. And it's fun.
Depending on where I am, I'm away for a week or two, but I'll maybe phone in. I'm away both weekends, but I'll be in Florida, and depending on the quality of my network connections, I may have to go to McDonald's. I'll maybe drop in for a while, and depending on what's going on, I'm going to chill if I get there. So hopefully I'll maybe just be able to dial in and chat with you for a while.
I'm going to be very curious to hear your take on being in Florida in the current environment that we all live in right now. The very different vibe you're going to get there versus right now.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Ron's coming for Christmas dinner.
And Brandon's coming for Christmas dinner. Is that what I heard?
Ron.
Yeah. Okay. I think you should invite Brandon. Come on. All right. Come back next week. And by the way, if you missed this, obviously you're probably listening to us on a tape recording. We do put out an audio version of this podcast on 8-track cassette tapes. So there you go. Find it in your local store. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitch. We are on Twitter. We are on YouTube. We try to be everywhere all at the same time. We fail miserably at it, but we keep on trying. Let's do some actual shout outs. Phil, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So thanks to you guys. Always good to see you. Robin, have an amazing trip. Can't wait to hear all about it. See the photos and very envious.
I'm waiting to type those immortal words. Philadelphia, I am in you on my way there.
And Disney at Christmas is absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. So just the community, it's been they've been really good. To Matt, hope you get better and they let you out. Aside from the lesbian strippers and cocktails, which we need to find out which hospital he's in.
Yeah, and you notice that last night we were
on. Yeah. Didn't it's just say. somewhere in Bristol.
Yeah, it's my man.
Yeah, so, no, there can't be that many sanitariums in Bristol, is there?
I think that now.
To Curry's for taking all my money, which is fantastic. Bought two. I did buy two vacuums in the end. Just everyone have a great week, and hopefully see you next time, Robin.
Yeah, Matt, again, Matt, get well. I know you've had a bit too much excitement of late, and it's affected you a wee bit. So look here, get well, and you do a fantastic job in the WhatsApp groups. You're very, very active there. We really thank you. Really part of the team, Matt. Thank you. To Nicole, and also to Kim, they were at the tail end of this hurricane, which hit Kentucky and sadly killed at least 100 people over there. Thankfully, they are safe, but they were kind of worried for a while, especially, I think, Nicole. So, stay safe, everybody there. It's really horrible at this time of year for something like that, which doesn't usually happen at this time of year. So, horrible. And to the team, thank you very much for having me and being there for me when I've been sick, because you just never know. And I used would miss me terribly. And life wouldn't really be worth living without me. So I'm glad I'm here to grace the airwaves once again and let you spend time with me. And unfortunately, I'm in short supply over the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to phone in and see if you are okay and, you know, give you some sugar. Yeah. So, thank you. And happy Christmas. I suppose if I'm not speaking to you, it's for some reason, because I'm having such a good time or whatever, and I can't be bothered. Happy Christmas to you all. I hope Santa Claus comes. Happy Hanukkah to anybody, because that's about to happen, I believe, as well, then, too. Happy happies. And if I'm not back in time, I'll see you next year. So take me home, Mr. Lacey. Take me home. Be privileged to take me home.
I think I'm going to throw up right now. All right. No, seriously. Mark, feel better. He got Mark, the additional jab and apparently it knocked him on his ass. Or maybe Mark, you should hear these words. Stop being a pussy and get on with life. To Matt, look, we are all in your corner. Let's face it. I think this is actually a big cover for the true problem, which is his erection did last longer than 4 hours. And so that has landed him in the hospital. So look, man, do what you got to do. Okay. But no, get better, get back, you know, out of there and back to the world. And we are, of course, all in your corner fighting for you. Phil, Robin, thank you both for making the show.
Thanks, lads.
Love seeing you guys. Love talking with you. And Robin, I appreciate you donning the ramen hoodie. makes me smile.
Next Thursday night, I'll be down on my knees on the ground, you know, touching the dirt. And it's the same dirt that your hand can touch as well. I'm looking for it. We'll be connected.
People are going to see you do that. And they're going to be like, oh, my God, he's a terrorist.
all right. Or an
Yeah, I think beyond that, everybody, have a great week. Do come back. Happy holidays. If we don't by chance hit your ears by the time Christmas comes or by the time Hanukkah has come and passed, happy holidays to all of you. Happy Festivus to the rest of us. Just enjoy what's left of 2021. And nobody at all say next year has to be better. Because let's face it, we figured out it just might not be. So let's just enjoy what we've got right now. And on that note, Robin, let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.